You're at home right now? You've been home this whole time?
Yep.
Gosh, that's such good news. I was picturing you in some sad windowless office complex, surviving on handfuls of instant coffee and chain smoking.
No to the coffee, and definitely a no to the chain smoking. My mother would turn my insides into outsides if I ever smoked in this apartment.
Oh, you live with your mom?
No. I took over her lease when she got married and moved to be with her new husband. They're out in Montauk now, but I grew up in this apartment. I didn't want to lose it.
That's sweet. You're sweet. But what did you mean, no to coffee? You don't drink it?
I can have maybe one cup of coffee in the morning. But have you ever seen Men in Black?
Sure.
Well, you know the alien guy who pretends to be a human and just tweaks the whole movie?
Yes.
Well, that's exactly who I am after more than a cup or two.
I would really like to see that at some point.
It's not pretty. Anyway, your sight?
Yes, right. Did you make progress while I was riding with Lionel?
I figured out what the problem is, but I don't know how to fix it yet.
What's the problem?
Well, basically, Curio got confused because your sight is different from other sights. While most people's pages are informational or offer a simple market price, yours is doing a lot more than that.
Right.
I'm curious, can you explain the purpose of the questionnaire feature you integrated?
Well, when people sign up for the service, they fill out this really extensive survey about their personalities, likes and dislikes, relationships, that kind of thing. From there, I can start to get an idea of their needs and their taste. It's how I know what to pack in their care packages, how to personalize them. Because if I was just sending the most universal stuff in all of them, people would get pretty bored with the service. So I try to get to know my clients really well so that they feel like their packages are really specific to them. But it's all guesswork in the end. If they really liked one component or really hated it, they can tell me, and I'll plan accordingly next time.
What's your favorite care package you've ever done?
Oh, there have been so many. But there is this one for a dad. He was going to spend a day with his daughter, who he hasn't seen in years, because after she'd gone off to college, they didn't have a ton of money for them to travel back and forth across the country to see one another. So this was going to be his first time seeing her in a really long time. And even though they'd always been really close, he was nervous to see her. Like, his grown-up college graduate wasn't going to have anything in common with him anymore.
That's sweet.
I know.
What'd you put in the package?
For some of it, I went really corny. Like, I put in this father-daughter t-shirt set that had penguins and sunglasses, and one said, cool like my dad, and the other said, cool like my daughter.
Wow. That's brilliant. Either they actually like them, which is a win, or they think the shirts are silly, which gives them something to bond over.
Exactly. He'd never been to her city before either, so I designed this big scavenger hunt for the two of them to do together that brought them all over the place, so she could show the whole city to him. It had complicated clues that they had to figure out together.
Just in case they couldn't find something else to talk about.
You guessed it.
So smart.
Thanks.
So I can see that you expanded the questionnaire section to have an interactive feature, almost a mini social media component specific to your site. I've never seen a customer do that with their site before. What was your thinking there?
Well, once the site is up and running again, you should fill out the survey. You'll see that it's really extensive. It takes about 20 minutes to complete. And in the end, it shows all these different graphics on how your preferences compare to other people's, and the ways that certain choices you made were unexpected or unusual. It makes predictions on what trends you might be interested in or activities you might enjoy.
Really cool.
Right? So I wanted to add some chatting and posting features as a way for customers to connect their results to the other users of the site. And in my wildest dreams, I was kind of hoping to turn part of it into a dating site.
A dating site? How would that work?
Well, a user could look through the profiles on there, and if they saw someone they were interested in, they could try to design a care package for them using what they'd think they'd like. Then I'd pack it and send it, And if the person they sent it to liked it, they'd connect with them. I don't know. Maybe the whole thing is too involved, but I'm trying to think big.
You want to create space for your business to grow in lots of different directions.
Exactly.
I think it's really cool, Vera. I'm always extremely interested in all the different things that the people who use Curio are making sites for, all the different things they're interested in or trying to promote. But this is one of the better ideas, I have to say. It's ambitious and good-hearted, and yeah, I'm rambling. Anyway, earlier I wrote some new code for your site, and if it works for you, then you can make it go live, okay?
Okay.
So go to your site-building page on Curio, and I'll walk you through it.
Should we mirror share?
Sure, I'm sending the invite now.
Accepting it, and bam! Hello!
Are you waving hello to me with your mouse cursor?
Wave back! Yes, this is seriously the best customer service call of all time.
Very glad to hear it. Okay, so go to this menu here, and I'll walk you through how to authorize... to authorize the changes, and then... And then...
Cal? What the hell is going on over there?
Nothing. That's just... Ow! No claws! That's just my cat, Jewel.
She's been so quiet all day.
He's a he, actually. And yeah, he only emerges from the underworld at this time of night, screaming for food.
You named your male cat Jewel?
It's Jewel, like short for Juliet, actually.
Okay. You named your male cat Juliet?
Didn't you hear what he sounds like when he's meowing?
I didn't. Oh, I get it. He sounds like he's calling for Romeo. I have never heard a cat make a noise like that before.
Hold on, I'll get up and feed him. Ouch, Jewel, no claws.
Jewel sounds like he's got a lot of personality.
You have no idea. He hides somewhere in the house, I have no idea where, but I won't see him for like 12 hours, except for dinner time, and then in the middle of the night, I'll wake up with him smothering my face in fur.
What?
I'm not joking. He hates me, except for when he gets lonely in the middle of the night, and then he loves me so much he nearly suffocates me.
That sounds exactly like my relationship with my ex, except I was the Jewel in this scenario.
Sweet Tooth?
Hmm?
The ex who called you Sweet Tooth?
Oh, yeah. I forgot I mentioned that. Jeez. We've really unearthed some buried treasure in this million-hour conversation.
Okay, Jewel is officially fed, and I'm back and ready to get down to... Wow.
What?
Vera, I would just like to remind you that we're currently mirror-sharing, and I can see everything that you're looking at on your screen.
Oh my god. Ah! Minimize! Minimize, damn you! Why won't the screen minimize?
Just click the button. The one. Not that one. Oh, jeez. How about I just close my eyes until you've sorted this out?
Okay. It's gone. And for the record, that was for a client. Not for me.
You purchase sex toys for clients?
For some of them, yes.
And the lingerie?
Also for the same client. It's called the Adults Only Package, and it's... God. It's very... I leave no stone unturned, okay? You're making me want to go hide under a rock for the first time in my life.
Don't be embarrassed. Honestly, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen while mirror sharing with a client.
Porn?
So much porn.
Who watches porn while on the line with a customer service rep?
It's actually happened more than once.
You must bring it out in people, Cal.
It must be my bassy, irresistible voice.
That's definitely the only reasonable explanation.
So, moving right along, are you ready to see if I've fixed your website, Crazy Cojones Lady?
It's Big Cojones, Cal, get it right. And yes... I'm ready to work on my website.
I should have known I'd catch you perusing sex toys. The username should have been a red flag from the beginning.
Oh my god, they were for my client! And if my website were working properly, then I could probably have already outsourced the sex toy shopping to some lowly intern.
Right. Your glitchy website. I think I fixed it, and I'm hoping I'm about to redeem my company here.
What do I need to do?
Okay, so you see where my mouse is right now? Mm-hmm. You're going to enter into this menu. Great. Now click here. Re-enter your password. Flip this toggle and that one. Almost there. Now just hit that button and your page should reload. Good as new.
Okay, here we go. Oh, yay! Cal, it's beautiful! Look at my gorgeous homepage! I've been doubting the celery, but no, it was the right call. Ah! Hello, options menu! Look at you operating at full tilt! Cal, you're a genius! A website doctor! I can't believe you fixed it.
Well, hold on there. It definitely looks better, but we don't know if it's completely fixed yet. Let's click through the site together and use all the features.
Okay. Homepage, check. Testimonials, check. About section, check. Get started questionnaire. Oh no, the survey is all screwy, Cal. Cal, you there?
Is that you?
Is what me?
The photo on the about page. Is that of you?
Oh, yeah. That's me with tons of makeup and my hair all done up. I don't normally look like that. But my brother thought it would be a good idea to have a few professional photos taken for the site.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hold that thought, Cal. That's my food. I'm gonna put my phone down for a sec.
Chapter 4. Still Monday night. Cal. Thank the sweet Lord that I have a moment to myself. My heart was already racing from unexpectedly seeing her shopping cart filled to the brim with vibrators and round, bendy things I've never seen before, not to mention that red underwear bodysuit thingy. But that was impersonal. They were just things. Nothing I couldn't see on my own with a quick Google search. It didn't really mean anything. But her photo. Her. Smile. Vera's nice to look at. Pretty brown hair and gray-blue eyes. But that's not even the point. She's got one of those smiles that makes you want to empty your bank account into a charity. Makes you want to find an old lady to help cross the street. Makes me want to go back to the shelter and rescue 100 more jewels. I sit up straight on the couch and set my computer aside for a minute. I'm scrubbing my hands over my face. With my eyes closed, all I can see is her smile. The shock of it reverberates through my body. I feel like someone just smashed a set of cymbals next to my ear. When my eyes open, it's to see my own date night jeans. All right, it's time to face the music. I am straight up vibing with this woman. And it's been a really long time since I've vibed with somebody. Look, I'm not lonely per se, but this kind of thing doesn't really happen to me. A spark like this. A spark that I think she's feeling too. I mean, I know that she's just sort of a sparkish person. Hell, she's probably making the delivery man feel like he's about 15 feet tall right this very second. But if she didn't like me at all, would she have stayed on the phone with me for... I check my screen. 7+ hours? But that's besides the point. Only playing my cards if I'm positive about her cards is a very middle school thing to do. I'm a grown man. I can tell her that I think she's really, really cute and that it would be nice to get to know her, you know, in person. This isn't about trying to find a way to get what I want. It's about trying to connect with her. And if she isn't into it, then I'll wake up in the morning like always. My doorbell rings and I accept my delivery food with a nod, but my mind is still on Vera. Birds are trying to peck their way out of my stomach as I flop back onto the couch and pull my computer onto my lap again. I'm gonna tell a girl I think she's cute. Oi, I need a distraction. What did she say right before she went to get her food? I was still a deer in the headlights of her smile and didn't hear her. She said something about the questionnaire section. I click over to that part of her website and frown. Damn it. It's an absolute mess. Completely unusable. What went wrong? I'm going to have to start from scratch on this section, which normally I'd love, because in the end, it's just a logic puzzle I have yet to solve. But right now, it's incredibly disappointing, because can I really tell her that I think we're vibing when I haven't even solved her website problem? What if I make her feel weird, but she feels obligated to keep talking to me because she needs her website fixed? I can't hold that over her. No, I can't lay it all out until her website is fixed. Otherwise, it might seem like I'm asking for some sort of exchange. I cringe and push my computer aside again. Yeah, that's definitely the worst-case scenario. Boy asks girl on date. Girl assumes he's extorting her. Not great. I'm a good person. I know this. But I also, one, know very little about her. Two, am a representative for the company I've given years of blood, sweat, and tears for. Three, don't want to creep her out. Four, am a complete stranger to her. And five, am not smooth at asking out women when the situation isn't this complicated. I think of her smile, the cymbals crash again, and I stand up and pace around my living room for a quick second. She's cute. I'm into it. And there's no way around it. I gotta wait to tell her.
Okay, I'm back.
You got your dinner?
Yep.
Mine came a second ago, too.
Oh, yay! We get to eat together, Cal.
All right, so I think we might have a real issue on our hands with this questionnaire section. It'll take me...
Wait. No shop talk during dinner, okay?
But don't you want to get this solved?
Definitely. But are you going to fix it in the next half hour?
No.
Then let's eat, and we can fix it later.
All right. In that case, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Earlier, when you mentioned that you could probably call your brother to be on the line with you while you were riding with Lionel, you mentioned that he'd be willing, but that you didn't really want to add another tally mark.
Oh, right.
What are the tally marks counting?
Sigh.
You know, you can just actually sigh and the same information will be conveyed.
It's not as dramatic that way.
It's okay if you don't want to tell me.
No, it's not that. It's just, I don't know if I've ever explained it out loud before. It's really just a dynamic between me and my family that sort of always existed, as long as I can remember. Basically, it's this whole idea that I can never stick with something. When things get hard, I quit.
Huh.
You know, there was this misprinted shirt that went viral last year. It was supposed to be inspirational. It said, "Never quit" in big block letters. And then a smaller subline was added that said, "Do your best." But they accidentally arranged the words so the shirt actually read, "Never do your best, quit."
Yeah, I remember seeing that trending.
Well, my family got that shirt for me for Christmas this year.
Ouch.
It's not as mean as it sounds. It was just a gag gift. We're the kind of family that's always teasing each other. And they also got me some thoughtful things, too. But the shirt stung.
Yeah, I can see why. Have you done anything to deserve the reputation?
Definitely. As a kid, I bailed on 3 different basketball teams, a softball team, track, a couple different dance classes. It got to the point that my folks wouldn't let me sign up for a sport that didn't have a refund policy on the registration fee. Let's see. What else? I have half of a nursing degree. I didn't finish my undergrad, even though I only needed a few more credits to get a bachelor's in psych. I trained for a half a marathon.
You ran a half marathon? That's a huge accomplishment.
No, I did half the training for a whole marathon, but gave up because it was way too hard. You can laugh if you want. I'm used to it at this point.
I would never laugh at that.
I know. It's too depressing to laugh at.
That's not what I meant. Do you really think your brother would have counted your car battery dying as you giving up on something? That seems like a stretch to me.
No, he wouldn't have counted the car battery. But he would have wanted to know what I was doing on the side of the road. And then I would have had to explain about the website failure. And then he would have gotten that tone that he gets when he expects I'm about to give up on something. And it would have totally gotten in my head, which is not what I need right now. And it all would have been so much worse because this time I wouldn't have been giving up halfway. This time I would have been tripping at the finish line. And yeah, I just really, really need my website to work.
First of all, it's Curio's fault your website doesn't work, not yours. And if your brother can't see that, then he sounds like a real piece of work.
Maybe it's Curio's fault that the website doesn't work. But it's my fault that I left designing the site until the last minute. So now all the troubleshooting has to get resolved immediately or else I totally fail.
You mentioned before some kind of deadline. Is that what you mean by last minute?
Oh, God. I didn't want to blab about it and end up jinxing myself. But yes, I used the remainder of my seed money to register for this huge food and wine expo that's happening on Friday. And not just as an attendee. As a vendor, I have a booth and everything. I'm trying to get clients, but also to connect with other vendors there. There are representatives from all the best restaurants and vineyards all over the East Coast. There are countless luxury items being sold, stuff that would be perfect for my packages. Not to mention all the people who know people who know people, people with money who would totally want someone like me to design care packages for, I don't know, their entire staff as their year-end bonus or something like that? This could be a huge break for Date in a Box. But if I don't have a website, or even worse, all I have is a messy jumble of alien alphabet instead of a website, I'm going to look so unprofessional and no one is going to want to work with me.
Oi.
Yeah.
And you'll feel like you tripped at the finish line.
I'll feel like I face-planted in whipped cream at the finish line and got a wedgie on the way down, and...
I get it. This is a can't-fail situation.
Yes.
Well, Vera, I'm happy to inform you that you are currently working with a can't-fail kind of a guy.
What's that supposed to mean? Did I just hear you crack your knuckles?
Sure did.
Why do I feel like the Mission Impossible music is playing in your head?
Because it is. Except instead of rappelling down the side of a cliff, I'm just going to start typing really fast on my keyboard.
Is it just me, or are you getting funnier as the time goes on?
Well, considering we've been talking for 8 hours, if I'm not funny by now, there's probably not any hope.
Has it really been 8 hours?
Almost.
Have you ever had a customer service conversation that's lasted this long? Be honest. I'm a high-maintenance customer, aren't I?
Vera, I've never had any conversation last this long. And you're not high-maintenance. You deserve to have your site work well. You paid for it, after all.
You aren't working right now, are you? We're taking a break, remember?
I can work and eat and chat at the same time.
No! I demand that you relax at least for a minute. You're working overtime for me, which technically means I'm your boss. And as your boss, I'm mandating a dinner break. You hear that, manager? Who's in charge now?
Are you threatening my manager?
Sometimes you gotta lay the law down, Cal. Stick with me and you'll get all the dinner breaks you could ever want.
How's your food?
Oh, perfect. You were exactly right about eating simple food. It's hitting the spot. How's yours?
Perfect. Colorful, unexpected, interesting.
Wow. The food is that good?
And the company.
Aww. If I didn't know better, I'd say I've grown on you throughout the day.
Grown on me? That implies I didn't like you at first.
Oh, come on, Cal. There's no way you liked me at first. I was screaming at other cars and raving about the hold music. I took Titanic's name in vain.
I liked that. Really, I felt bad you'd been on hold for so long, but I thought you were funny right away.
Oh, right. I forgot about my flawless first impression.
You were charming.
And you were very polite.
Oh, great. Just what every man wants to be.
Sorry, did that bruise your ego? Never mind. You weren't polite. You were a pulsing vein of testosterone. I could tell simply by your voice that you could definitely crush a beer can on your forehead.
Much better.
I'm done with my food, and now suddenly I feel like I could crush a beer can on my head.
Well, you hadn't eaten all day, Vera.
Neither had you.
It's just a miracle we didn't simultaneously pass out cold.
Jewel would have had to call 911 with his tiny little paws.
He'd never have gotten past the thumbprint ID on my phone. I would never give that psycho access to my personal data.
I think Jewel is massively misunderstood. A classic anti-hero. You should have named him Heathcliff.
Trust me, he's not a romantic hero. If you ever meet him, you'll see what I mean. You won't see hide nor hair of him for hours, and then you'll turn around and he'll be like 2 inches from your face, just staring.
Well, I hope I do meet him someday. I have the sneaking suspicion that he would love me.
You want to meet my cat?
Oh, hey, can you hold on for a second? I'll be right back.
Sure.
I'm back.
Everything all right?
Yep. Just changed into my pajamas.
Okay, I'm just gonna say it one more time.
What?
I'm about to sit down and try like hell to get your websites fixed as fast as I can. It's really important to me that your site works, and you really, really don't need to feel obligated to stay on the line. It's late, you're tired.
Am I distracting you while you work?
A little, in a good way. Never mind. You're not. You're perfect. Not distracting at all.
I'll read. I won't say a word on my end of the phone. If you need anything from me, let me know. But otherwise, I'll be quiet as a titmouse.
I'm pretty sure it's quiet as a church mouse.
Oh, it's not tit?
It's definitely not tit.
Either way, my tits will be quiet.
Wow.
I'm zipping my lip as we speak.
Is that even anatomically possible?
Shh, I'm reading now and can no longer hear you. Unless you need something, of course. Oh, and Cal, the second you think you've solved the problem, you let me know, okay?
I promise.
Vera, I've been quiet for an hour now, but I haven't read a word of my book. I can't stop looking at the screen of my phone. The seconds are tick, tick, ticking past, and I can't help but feel like they're counting more than time. Each second feels like a penny dropped into a well. I wonder what I'm wishing for. I should hang up the call. It's definitely weird I'm not hanging up the call. I can tell it's weird because I imagine telling my brother about this phone call and all the different ways he'd tell me this was ridiculous. You flirted with a customer service rep for 9 hours? Vera, get a leash on yourself. But the thing is, Cal doesn't think this is weird. I can tell he doesn't. Or at the very least, he thinks this is the good kind of weird. I pick up my phone and carefully keep the call connected while I go into my text messages. I click on the number for his direct line, the one I already sent a menu to, and I save it in my phone with his name attached. He's a contact now. He's a friend now. Of course he's a friend. We've been through a professional crisis. A personal crisis. A temper tantrum. Hours of flirting. We've had dinner together. I told him about the quitter t-shirt. I haven't told anybody about the quitter t-shirt. Maybe Cal is one of those people who other people tell their secrets to. Like Shelley Simpson. She was this girl I went to elementary school with, and for some reason, everybody told Shelley their secrets. She knew everything about everyone, and everyone knew it. Shelley kept those secrets locked tighter than the Queen's jewels. It was a one-way street. The secrets went in, but they never came out. Maybe Cal is a Shelley. I can see it now. All his customers wind up revealing personal stuff. They bitch about their divorces and weep for their lost loved ones. Cal consoles them with his deep, friendly voice. His personal specialties are website troubleshooting and talk therapy, with a side of jokes and reassurance. The seconds keep ticking. The pennies are piling up. Ugh. Cal's kind of perfect. I pick the phone up. But maybe I'm just thinking he's perfect because he's only a floating voice. I put the phone back down. Right now, there's no BO or socks in the middle of the floor. He hasn't bailed on meeting my parents at the last minute or gotten jealous when he caught me texting with a guy friend. It's counterproductive to assume that every man would eventually end up to be like my ex. But Gio hasn't exactly been the easiest person to get over. He's not my great lost love or anything. He wasn't the one who got away. He's just been on my mind. He's pesky. I learned the wrong things from him. I know I did. I learned that I want too much. I learned that men only give what they expect to get. I learned that a boyfriend is like gravy on the meat and potatoes, but he can never really fill me up. And duh, that's stupid. I've grown up with my parents' relationship. My dad still warms up my mom's car for her on cold winter mornings. He sits with her in the living room when she comes home from work in frustrated tears. When she calls him, he answers. Even when he's on the toilet, that's not hyperbole. I know these men exist. My brother is one of them. He's a golden retriever in man form, the most loyal creature on the planet. I've long since refused to let Gio represent all men. But like I said, he's pesky. He shows up when I least expect him to. Like right now. Instead of picking up the phone and trying to wheedle Cal into flirting with me again, I stay quiet and just watch the seconds tick past. Here's the thing. I've been dating a lot recently, which in modern terms means I've been ghosted a lot recently. A few dudes have followed through past the first date. One even let me down gently instead of going radio silent, which means that he's a delightful person who deserves a silk pillow in heaven one day. But most of them are ghosts in hip Brooklyn clothing. I'd love to tell you that I could spot them from a mile away at this point. Yeah, I can't. I'm still as much of a sucker now as I was when I started casually dating a year ago. It's hard to tell who's going to ghost you. Cal doesn't seem like a ghost. And I know he's not married. God, I made him repeat it twice. Because I'm an occasional loser who did a literal happy dance when her customer service rep turned out to be unwed. How embarrassing. Or maybe not embarrassing? Cal has a deep, attractive voice. He's obviously willing to connect with me. He's been incredible company today. He called the tow truck guy for me, made sure I got home safe. He's funny and attentive and reassuring. Maybe there could be something beyond this phone call. If something were to happen with him, it wouldn't even be long distance. Isn't that a sign? He could have been talking to me from Nova Scotia, from Prague, from Beijing. Instead, he's been chatting to me all day from 6 miles away. I pick up the phone again. Cal?
Mm-hmm.
Am I interrupting?
Yes, but honestly, I'm surprised you made it this long.
Well, I was just wondering something.
Okay.
Does your face match your voice?
Sorry?
Does your face match your voice?
No, I heard you the first time. I just have no idea how to answer that.
Some people's faces don't match their voices. Like Michael Bublé.
The Christmas singer guy?
He sounds like he'd be a 50-year-old crooner, right? But he's young and cute. It doesn't match.
I still don't know how to answer this question.
Well, from your voice, I'd guess that you are 40? Tall? Bearded?
You can hear a beard in someone's voice.
Did I guess right?
You've got 1 out of 3.
Ooh! which one?
I'm not describing myself to you in detail. That's...
a breach of identity safety protocol?
I was going to say embarrassing.
Why? Is your appearance embarrassing? Do you constantly have whopper sauce on your face and nose hairs down to your top lip?
I should have predicted that your imagination would take this to a gross place.
Then just tell me and put me out of my misery.
Okay, I'm average. Completely average. If you saw me on the train, you wouldn't recognize me.
You're terrible at describing stuff.
Okay, fine. Imagine the most handsome man you've ever seen. Like, truly, you know, a hunk.
A hunk? Who are you, my grandma? Cal, you delight me.
Are you imagining the hunk?
Yes.
Great. Now make him 50% less good-looking. And now cut that in half again. Now reduce his muscle mass down to that of a normal person and make his clothes less fashionable. Also, he needs a haircut. There. That's me.
You sound lovely.
Sure.
Yes. That's the stuff.
What's going on over there?
Oh, nothing. That's just my crawling into bed at the end of a long day noise.
You're in bed?
You okay? You sound weird.
Yeah, swallowed some water wrong.
I've decided it's weird that you've seen a picture of me, but I haven't seen a picture of you.
Hmm.
I want to see a picture of you.
What for?
What do you mean, what for? For the same reason anyone wants to see a picture of anyone. Curiosity.
I don't have any photos to show you.
Cal, it's the 21st century. That rectangular thing that you're using to converse with me has something called a camera in it. Just smile at it and press the button and bam, you have a photo of yourself. It's like magic.
You want me to send you a selfie?
I want an even playing field. You've seen me. Wait, is there a customer service get-to-know-you page for Curio? Some sort of employees list with photos?
No, there's not, thank God.
What are you mumbling about?
Nothing.
You really won't let me see a pic?
Vera, you're nuts if you think anyone would want to follow up your pic with one of their own.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
You mean the hair and makeup? It doesn't have to be a glamour shot, Cal. Just find some good lighting. Go into your bathroom.
You want a picture of me in my bathroom? Manager, are you hearing this?
Ha! No. Bathrooms have notoriously good lighting. Why do you think there are so many bathroom mirror muscle shots?
Are there?
Clearly you don't online date.
Dating is just about the only thing I don't do online.
Okay, you're obviously just baiting me to distract me from asking for a picture. But I'll bite. What else do you do online?
Where to begin? I chat, research, read, post, game, work, shop, kill time, watch stuff. I love the internet. It never ceases to amaze me.
Really? I kind of hate the internet. It tricks me into wasting hours of my life reading listicles on BuzzFeed.
I can understand that. I mean, I don't think it's a utopia or anything. It definitely brings me anxiety, too. But in its purest form, it's a place for people to connect with one another.
I guess I don't see much connection happening online. It seems more like people yelling at each other.
Yeah, well, I think that's what tends to trend. When people are mad and yelling at each other. But the best parts of the internet don't usually trend. They're the little moments. When you can find someone who feels the exact same way about something as you do, or someone makes a joke that perfectly hits your funny bone, it can really make the world less lonely.
You probably see a lot of crazy websites working for Curio, huh?
You have no idea. It's so interesting to me. I love to see what people care about enough to devote time and money to creating a page. Sure, lots of businesses, but then there's blogs about every topic under the sun. Fan pages for obscure celebrities, petitions to save some random animal I've never even heard of. You see a lot of passion sitting where I sit.
Is that why you started working for Curio?
Yeah, Actually, this kind of thing is important to me.
That's really cool. You're really cool.
Oh, thanks.
Cal?
Yes?
I was wondering...
Hi, honey. Oh, no. You ate takeout for dinner? You know there's leftovers in the fridge, right?
Oh, I'm on the phone with a customer.
Sorry. I'll just head to bed.
Good night.
Sorry about that, Vera.
What? Oh, man. Don't be sorry. That's totally fine. Wow, it really is late, huh?
I guess.
Well, I won't keep you any longer. Thank you so much for all your help today, Cal.
Wait, you're going? Are you all right?
Yep. Is there some sort of customer service survey I should stay on the line for?
Oh, no.
Okay, then. Well, have a good night. And please have someone from Curio contact me when the site is all fixed up, yeah?
Of course.
Thanks again. Goodbye, Cal.
Goodbye, Vera.
Cal. I stare down at the black screen of my phone. She hung up. She actually hung up. I feel like a line of rope arcing from me in Bay Ridge all the way to her in Prospect Heights has been suddenly sliced in two. There's a weird slackness where there had just been a whole lot of tension. What the hell just happened? Everything had been going fine, great even.
I was wondering...
God, I'd definitely shave a few months off the end of my life to know what the hell she'd been wondering. Why did she hang up? Think about this logically. She'd been just about to say something, and then Carla had come in. Vera heard another voice on the line for the first time. She heard a woman's voice on the line, a woman who'd walked right into my home, a woman who'd called me honey. No. No, 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 no. She couldn't possibly think that me and Carla? Blarf. No, that's wrong. That's so wrong, it's laughable. I should call her back. I should call her right now and explain, and then she'll see why it's laughable, and she'll laugh. She'll laugh instead of sounding all high-pitched and fake happy like she did when she got off the phone. I freeze with my thumb over the call button. Because I can't call her back? What would I say? Look, I'm not going to ask you out yet, because I don't want to cross my professional lines here, but I just want you to know that the woman you thought was my girlfriend is not my girlfriend. No, that is freaking weird and presumptuous. The thing between us was balancing on the head of a pin, and unfortunately, Carla came in and punted it off into no man's land.
And please have someone from Curio contact me when the site is all fixed up.
I groan and toss my phone down on the couch next to me. She didn't even say, please let me know when the site is fixed up. She might as well have said, please have someone else contact me, not you. And why wouldn't she feel weird? After the day we had together, the hours of conversation, the jokes, the what I'm pretty sure was flirting. And then just like that, she realizes that the dude who's been in her ear all day has a live-in girlfriend and she feels stupid as hell. She probably doesn't think much of me right about now either. I stand up and gather my takeout containers to bring to the recycling. My fingertips are buzzing. My heart is racing. It takes everything in me not to leap back to the couch and call her up. Awkward confessions and professional lines be damned. It's my personality to see a problem and fix it as quickly and efficiently as possible. But there's no way around it. I can't fix this until I fix her sight. Then I can call her up as me. I won't be Cal, the customer service guy. I'll be Cal, the guy who thinks she's unbelievably cute. I'll be the guy who solves problems for her, not the guy who creates them. It'll be really nice when I get to be that Cal, but for now, in her eyes, I'm the guy who majorly vibed with her all day while he has a live-in girlfriend who calls him honey and leaves him leftovers in the fridge. I lean forward on the kitchen counter. To my left is my bedroom. I should go get some sleep, start fresh in the morning. To my right is my computer, still glowing in the living room. Sighing, I start to brew some coffee. I can either not sleep in my bed or I can not sleep while I'm working. And one of them helps me clear up this situation with Vera faster. I make the coffee weak because I want to be able to see straight, and I wasn't lying when I told Vera that caffeine makes me tweak. While it's brewing, I head to my room and change out of my stupid date night clothes. Jeez, I'm a goner. So into a girl, I dressed up for her even when she couldn't see me. I'm back in track pants and a t-shirt. For the second time that day, I stop and study myself in the mirror, wondering what Vera would think if she saw me right this very second. Average, I told her. Needs a haircut, I said. Not as hot as you, was what I meant. I think of her smile and visibly wince. It feels good and bad at the same time. There's this gemstone that occurs only in Finland. It's called spectrolite. I found a piece once out in the woods behind my dad's house. It was the size of my big toe, the color of a rainbow, iridescent and magical. For days, I didn't tell my dad about it. I just carried it in my pocket. It was a secret, something that thrilled me every time my fingers grazed it in my pocket. A gift to myself. That's what Vera's smile feels like to me. A secret treasure that's mine and only mine. Except, I finally showed my dad that spectrolite, and he took it to a rock and gem shop where it was cleaned and polished. I watched as he bought a glass display case. It even had a row of lights on one side to make the stone glow. Then we went home, and he set the whole thing up on the mantle of our fireplace. My secret treasure had become the world's treasure, no longer mine. I wasn't even tall enough to open the case on my own. My pocket felt empty. I'd wrecked it by telling my dad. And now I've done the same thing again. Wrecked something special by exposing it to the world. Why the hell didn't I mention Carla at some other point of the conversation? Vera had not been smiling when she hung up on me. I arrive at the same inevitable conclusion once again. Thick sight, thick situation with Vera. It's the only reasonable order of operations. I drink the coffee in three big gulps, take it like it's cough medicine. I'm cracking my knuckles and propping up my feet on the coffee table. My laptop is the portal to the world where Vera's wounded little sight is hiding. Here I come. Right as I'm about to get down to work, I hear an incoming email hit my inbox. It is addressed to my work email, and the sender is just a bunch of letters and numbers. I eye it for a second and then click into it. I have strong spam filters set up on my account, so there's no way this was a mass email. You owe me. You have to make up for what you did. Wire $5,000 to this account in the next 3 days, or else your cat will get it. I'm not messing around. I blink at the letter. Oh, Lord. The cat menacer strikes again. The first time this wacko emailed me 2 months ago, my first thought was, someone wants to assassinate Jewel? My second thought was, what the hell did I do wrong that's worth $5,000? It's such a strange sum of money. It's not little enough to brush off, but it's not big enough to think I'm being extorted by someone who actually knows what they're doing. Just like I've done with the last four emails from the cat menacer, I immediately forward it on to Jerome Matilda. Jerome is an old friend from college and someone we keep on retainer at Curio. He's sort of a cross between an IT guru and a PI. He's an odd duck. He couldn't find his own socks if they were on his feet, but there's no mystery he can't solve if it involves the internet. Unfortunately, the cat menacer isn't the first threat of this kind that I've had to enlist Jerome to get to the bottom of. Curio, though not as heavy a hitter as other content management systems, is a rising star, and the people behind it are rising in its wake. I've gotten all sorts of strange emails to my work address, a surprising amount of nudie pics, and also a not-so-surprising amount of people hoping to squeeze or trick a penny out of me. I put the issue out of my mind. That's the point of sending the email to Jerome. He's supposed to think about it for me. I turn my thoughts back to Curio. Back to Vera. Thick sight, thick situation. I dive in. It's 3 hours later that I realize just how screwed I am. Because I figured out the issue, and it's not with her sight, it's with Curio. There's a systemic problem with how Curio interfaces with operating systems as old as hers, which sucks, because there are plenty of people around the world who use outdated operating systems, and they deserve to build fully operational web pages as much as the next person. But also it sucks because this means that in order to fix her site, Vera is going to have to start from scratch on building the questionnaire, something that no doubt would take her days. Or I have to start from scratch on that part of Curio's interface, something that will take me days. I think of the timer on the screen of my phone that had showed me how long my conversation with Vera was lasting. It blinked out of existence the second she ended the call. Thinking of the timer gives me an anxious feeling, like it's taken up residence in my chest, but this time it's running backwards. There is no bomb when the timer runs out. Instead, there's only the complete fading of me out of Vera's life. If this timer counts down to zero, I'm just some guy she once had a really long phone call with. I'll be customer service Cal, a distant memory. If she saw me on the street, she wouldn't even recognize me. Fix site, fix situation. Looks like I won't be sleeping tonight.
Chapter 5. Tuesday. Vera.
Hi, Vera. It's Mom. You're still not sleeping, are you? I was just calling to tell you that Dad and I are so excited for the convention on Friday. I know you said that you could get us in for free, but we went ahead and bought passes because we wanted to support you, sweetie. Rod and Miriam were hoping to come as well. We're all so proud. Anyhow, I'm headed to the market this afternoon to pick up some groceries for your stay here, so call me back if you need anything in particular. I really hope you're not still sleeping. You'll waste the day away, sleepyhead. Okay. Love you.
By the end of the voicemail, my eyes are crossing. I am incredibly, endlessly grateful to have a mother who loves me so much. Like, so much. But she has this unique talent of lifting me up and cutting the legs out from under me at the exact same time. Of course I'm not still asleep at 11 a.m. on a weekday. And I can't believe my parents paid the convention entrance fee. It's a completely wasted $150. I could have gotten them in for free. And what does she mean, support me by paying for the tickets? It's not like I'll get a cut of the door profits. Ugh. Now, because they paid for it, they'll feel like they need to stay all day to get their money's worth. Nothing says independent business person like having your parents stand beside your booth and insist to prospective customers that you're really special. And they're bringing Rod and Miriam? They're our old neighbors that my parents still keep in touch with, even though they moved to a retirement community across town. I love Rod and Miriam, but Miriam's a nurse herself and has never really gotten over me quitting nursing school. She'll spend the whole time she's there looking over my booth with a very skeptical expression, as if asking me if I really think this is more worthwhile than nursing. I have 3 care packages to drop off at UPS and a meeting with a woman who makes organic hair products. I'm pitching Date in a Box to her and hoping she'll want to start collaborating with me. I don't have time to spare today. But if I don't call my mother back and tell her what not to buy from the market, which is how she refers to Costco, by the way, she'll use her intuition and come home with a 6-pack of the deodorant I haven't used since high school. I lean back against my kitchen counter and bring up my mom's missed call on my recents list. My thumb hovers over the screen. Because there it is. Curio's customer service number, staring back at me with the timestamp of 9 hours and 18 minutes. I remember this feeling. It's exactly like when, as a kid, I'd build a fort with my brother and spend the whole day playing in it. We'd create a land where our fort existed, give it a name, a language, a history. We'd battle for king of the fort and eat our lunches in there. For that day, our entire lives existed within the walls of Mom's old sheets she'd let us pin up in the basement. And then the next morning, I'd wake up and remember the fort, and somehow the magic would be gone. I'd think to myself, did you really spend the entire day doing that? It would still seem fun, but I could never get myself back into the place where it was real again. My phone call with Cal is exactly that. I can't believe I spent the entire day chatting with a stranger on the phone. And I really can't believe I was about to ask him out. But it's not even that I'm embarrassed about it. It's that I was both feet in, opening up to him, wanting to know anything he'd tell me about himself. I have a vulnerability hangover. But you know what? I can't think about this right now. I have a life that involves commitments with people I actually know. I call my mom and implore her not to buy me a whole cupboard of snacks. I'm only staying for 2 nights, I remind her. She tells me she's proud of me again, and for some reason it makes my teeth grit. I email her the complimentary guest passes to the event, the ones that were supposed to be for my parents, and she prints them out to give to Rod and Miriam. I beg off the call because of my meeting, and I can feel the surprise in her tone that not only have I set up a meeting, but I'll be attending it in a punctual manner. So proud, Vera. Unfortunately, the phone call has eaten up too much time, and I have to schlep the care packages across Brooklyn and find a way to mail them after my meeting, but before I head to Soho to pick up the cravats I had commissioned for my first ever best man in a box. I'm 2 steps behind all day. As it always is, it's a holy miracle I make it to the grocery store. I can only aspire to someday be one of those people who comes home on Sundays with a perfectly curated section of fresh produce, destined to become a week's worth of balanced meals. As it is, I'm just glad I'm headed back home with a tote bag full of whatever groceries looked good. Grocery shopping is an accomplishment for me, and I'm relieved to have it be done with for a few days. I didn't go grocery shopping to spite Cal. I also didn't spend any time imagining him and his girlfriend perusing the aisles arm in arm, doing butterfly kisses in between shopping for perfectly nutritious meals that will eventually become delicious leftovers. Because if I'd done those things, I would have had to be thinking about Cal, which I'm not. Except I am. Because despite my jam-packed day, I'm in bed at 8 p.m., my phone is a silent black brick on the bedside table, and I can't shake the feeling that it's accusing me of something. I stare at the ceiling of my bedroom. I'm an idiot. I'm not married does not mean I don't have a girlfriend. I created a fancy little world for myself yesterday. Just me and Cal sitting in a fort of my own making. Why couldn't he have been bored and disengaged? You know how many customer service reps I've spoken to who were obviously playing solitaire on their company-issued desktops? Why couldn't he have been one like them? Why did he have to laugh at my jokes and order me dinner and stay on the line in my pocket and make me feel cared for?
Hi, honey.
The woman's voice rockets through me, and I curl into the shape of an armadillo under my covers. She did not sound like some girl. She sounded like a sophisticated woman. She probably wears pantsuits that fit gorgeously, her hair in a French twist. I bet she's the head editor for a magazine that publishes thoughtful think pieces on the state of foreign affairs. And he caught me researching sex toys for a client. My armadillo curls even tighter. I'd been one wave of courage away from asking out the person whose job it is to get my website fully operational. What a bad freaking idea! You know what? Thank you, universe, for having Cal's worldly girlfriend enter stage left at that particular moment. It was practically a blinking neon sign reading, "Don't self-sabotage, Vera!"